Hey guys, I had Dr. David Lee Fish onto the show, and he is someone who can help you with performance anxiety, like getting stage fright or performing fright or, you know, all that for like athletes and speakers and all of this. And he's been doing this for decades, right? And so he talks about, you know, some tips and tricks, especially around mindfulness and being able to show up for the way you want to show up, right? When you are maybe playing in a, you know, band or singing or, you know, speaking, or you're an athlete or any of those things where you have to show up, because we all know that we get caught up in the fear of it instead of the excitement of it. And how do we switch that, right? How do we become excellent at what we want to do, especially when it comes to showing up on a stage somewhere, anywhere, right? So I want to thank you guys for all the support and everything that you do. I think you're going to love this episode. He's a great, great man. And I think that because he said 75% of us suffer from this stage fright thing, this will be the episode for you. So enjoy. What's up, y'all? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. And I wanted just to take a moment to say thank you so much for all of you who have been downloading the show and doing such amazing things. I cannot believe we're over 100 and maybe 10,000 downloads or something like that. Right. And we are just killing it. I love you guys so much for that. And as you know, I go around this amazing planet finding the best humans I can find to come on here to grow, challenge, and transform your thinking. And today I have a really cool dude. I think you guys are going to love him. His name is Dr. David Lee Fish. And I am excited to introduce him to you today. He has over 2 decades of experience as a music professor in North Carolina, and he pioneered a degree in concentration in popular music that earned the college recognition as one of the best music schools for 10 consecutive years. So this is not just like a one and done, y'all. Okay. He's been doing this for some time. He's not only a renowned educator in the field of music, but he's also a leader in mindfulness education. Yeah, you heard me. Mindfulness education. Now, he is the author of the highly acclaimed book, The 5-Day Stage Fright Solution, because you guys know when you are standing on the stage, you guys feel like they're watching me. I'm naked. What is happening, right? And he has an impressive musical career performing alongside legends like Frank Sinatra and Ella Fitzgerald and Cher. And on top of that, he's released his own folk rock album produced by industry icons. This guy is the real deal, okay? So he's currently leading at this college music for college music major and consultancy, helping college-bound musicians navigate their futures. So I want you to give this amazing man a great welcome onto the show, Dr. David Lee Fish. Welcome to Straight Talk.
Oh, thank you, Nina. I think we're going to have a great time. And let me say, I'm glad that it's Straight Talk with no sugar. As a diabetic, I can't have any.
That's awesome. Yes, it is no sugar, because I feel like, you know what? Life is about no sugar sometimes. You know, you just have to go through the things you got to go through. And sometimes it's not sweet. And so I like to talk about things like that, right? Yeah. So, Dr. David, let's get into it. I want to know a little bit more about you. I know I gave a bio, but I want to know who you are. Who are you?
Sure. Well, you know, I think like all of us, I'm kind of the amalgamation of all the stuff I've gone through in my life. You know, you mentioned the artist that I've performed with. Kind of ages me. I think all of the, well, no, Cher is still alive. Beyond that. But, you know, it's interesting. If I could maybe tell you a little bit. So stage fright, speech fright, they're basically the same thing. Performance anxiety. And my first big bout of stage fright in this case was when I was 16 years old. And I got a chance to play in the band backing Sonny and Cher when they came through Tucson, Arizona. So that really ages me, right? So this is my first professional gig, Nina. First professional gig.
Exciting.
And it was like in front of tens of thousands of people, right? And you know, the house lights go down, the spotlights come on, the rhythm section for the band starts playing what's called the vamp before their song, and the beat goes on, bum, 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 da, 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 right? So, and then the spotlights go over to where they are, they start coming on stage. The rest of the band is supposed to come in. So fight, flight, or freeze when you're scared, right? I froze. I completely missed my first professional entrance. And the only thing that snapped me out of it was the director saying, play, damn it. So,
wow, what a moment. What a moment.
Yeah. So, you know, I almost didn't survive. The rest of the gig was fine. But you know, from that, you know, moment on in high school, you know, I just like 75% of the people in the world, I suffer from performance anxiety. And the statistic, yes, 75%. Doesn't matter your profession, doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter your experience. One of the most famous stage fright sufferers was Vladimir Horowitz, was famous, renowned pianist, you know, the 20th century, played Carnegie Hall. His wife used to, when he was in his 70s and 80s, his wife had to push him on stage.
Wow.
Such stage fright. So at any rate, you know, in fact, I say, you know, if you have performance anxiety, speech fright, there's nothing wrong with you. You're not broke.
Right. Right.
You're perfect. You're just perfectly human.
Right. Right. And so was what happened? I'm very curious about what happened when that occurred to you that very first time. Were you invited back?
Well, you know, it's the sort of thing where you get hired for whatever artist comes through town. Mm-hmm. And that was the same with Frank Sinatra and Ella Fitzgerald and some other ones. Yeah, I got hired again.
Yeah, so, yeah. Were you able to perform the next time?
Oh, well, yes and no. I mean, you know, one of the things that I formulated is when you know, experience performance anxiety, the three factors are at play. One, you perform or speak in front of someone or compete, could be an athlete too, right? Two, you feel that they're judging you, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a real obvious, it's job interview. Mm-hmm. You're asking somebody out on a date. You know, they tell you no or yes or whatever. So sometimes you just feel like they're judging you. Doesn't
right.
But then the third one is if that judgment would be a threat, like I wouldn't get hired back for the next gig, you don't get the date, you don't get the job, then if those three factors are at play, if you're like 75% of it, you're going to be prone to experiencing speech fright and stage fright.
Right. Right?
So no, it did not cure it, right, by any means. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So when that happens, right, because I used to have stage fright. So the way I did it is I did it afraid. So, you know, I was always afraid of speaking in front of people. Same reasons that you're talking about, feeling judged, all that. I remember joining an MLM back in the day called Pampered Chef, and you had to perform these cooking demonstrations in front of a group of people. And I did that on purpose. So I joined the company on purpose in order to become unafraid of speaking in front of people, although I was sweating, stuttering. It was ridiculous, right? But you know what? Now I speak on stages. I don't feel that anymore. I feel the excitement, but I don't feel the fear. Yeah. So I'm wondering, because there's different people that do different things. Like I've spoken to people who are performers that speak on stage, but are super still frightened, like still very, very much frightened. So give us like, how is that? Or what is that, a psychology thing? Like you know, what is that?
You've hit upon two or three different really important points, and I'll try to keep them in my little fishy brain here. but one of them is you were nervous at first, but then after you gained experience, you weren't so much. Well, what you found out was that those three factors, something about them wasn't in play anymore, right? You had enough confidence in yourself, let's say, that it wasn't a threat to you, you know?
Right.
Now, I thought it was very, you know, we're doing this right after the debate between Trump and Harris, right? Mm-hmm. And it was obvious she was nervous at the beginning. You know, she had all of those tells that, you know, just from her voice was a little strained. She seemed to be thirsty. She had dry mouth and so forth. So here's a woman who has done thousands of speeches successfully. It's a very inspiring speaker, many people would say. But yet in that moment, those three factors must have been in play. And it's easy to understand, right? The threat is she doesn't get elected president if she didn't do well, right? That you know, that there's such a negative, you know, response from the audience mm-hmm. that it affects maybe how they vote.
And they are being judged.
Oh, yeah.
Every second of that debate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's one of the things that, yeah, you exist within a realm where you found that you're successful. And that doesn't mean that, like, it, the next day's rally that she was nervous.
Right.
She was probably fine at that rally because that was within her comfort zone and she knows that she commands that space and so forth, right? So that's one. Second thing is what you said about excitement, right? Now, what happens when you experience fear is adrenaline starts flowing mm-hmm. in your system. And that's what causes all of those symptoms, right? And also nervous, you know, thinking or can't think straight and blurred vision, sweaty palms, whatever it might be. The other time you get adrenaline going through your system is when you're excited, mm-hmm. right? And it certainly has been found in lots of studies that people do better in sports, public speaking, in performing, when they do have a level of excitement. Like, I'm mm-hmm. sure I have some adrenaline going right mm-hmm. now. I want adrenaline going right now, right? I mean, it, maybe you don't need so much because you're the interviewer and, you know, you're kind of a calm presence here and you've done this, over 400 episodes.
Yeah.
Me, right? I'm here to impress and, you know, and want to give the best of me and so forth. So I want to be a little excited. I want some adrenaline growing, but I've learned to tell the difference. If you just go by what you're feeling, you could easily mistake it and say, oh, I must be afraid.
Right.
When mm-hmm. that maybe isn't the case, it's more that you're excited. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then you're nervous. And you'll hear, especially performers say, it's important to have a little bit of nerves. I don't think that's...
Of course.
They maybe get that adrenaline going by making themselves nervous. They just need to make themselves excited.
Yeah. So do you think that's a shift more in, like, the language you use in yourself, the perspective? The reason I say that is because when I was afraid, you know, the first time I had to walk on a stage with, I think it was like 800 people, I was sitting on the chair and I started getting stomach pain. And my husband's like, you always get stomach pain before and then you kill it. And I said, you know what? You're right. So I switched it immediately. I'm like, I'm just so excited. And the minute I said that, everything changed. Like, you know, the stomach pain went away. I was still nervous, but I was excited nervous. And then when I went up there, I killed it. But so I'm wondering if you feel that way too. Like if it's language that we use, if it's psychology that we're using, like, tell me about that.
It's all of that. And, you know, and I'm not saying that I have invented anything new here. You know, I run into or come across professional speakers, performers, and so forth, who have stumbled upon typically the same sort of answers. You figured out, maybe I'm just excited. Right.
Right.
And it's really difficult when you're excited and you just have to sit there, right? You can't actualize that excitement, right? So it's that 5 minutes before they call you up to the podium or whatever it is. Yeah, so I think it's attitude. I think it's understanding what's really going on psychologically and taking advantage of that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's interesting because you were talking about athletes and musicians and things like that. I always think about stage fright as a speaker because that's what I do. Mm-hmm. I never really thought about like, that's right. I mean, if you're up for that big game, you're up to get that ball or hit that, you know, hit or do whatever it is your sport is, run, yeah, whatever that is. I didn't think about that, but you're right. I mean, you have to, you're coming up to something where you're going to be super judged, right?
Yeah,
I can imagine how fearful that is. I've never been an athlete, so I didn't know. When you mentioned that, I was like, oh, that's true. So, I mean, do you feel like it's all related, it's all the same?
Yeah.
Like if you can take care of it in one arena of your life, you can probably do it in all?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I tell you why, and it gets to what you said about me being, you know, a thought leader, I guess, in mindfulness, right? Maybe go back to my backstory a little bit here. So just out of college, and I wound up in California living in a Zen center. In a center that was led by a Korean Zen master. And I was there for about a year. And one of his big things was teaching you, one of them was, you know, there is a you beyond your thinking. We think we are our active thinking, right? But there's a you beyond your active thinking, which is maybe actually more authentic than all of the, you know, cogitating that you're doing inside your head. And so he said, you know, you get to that by detaching yourself from those thoughts, right? So in one of the times that you have a lot of noise going on, just, you know, random thoughts that you can't stop is when you're nervous. Right. So, you think, oh, yeah, my stomach's hurting, or, oh, yeah, oh, boy, I hope I do well, or whatever it is. Right. So with mindfulness. OK, now mindfulness became Mick mindfulness a few years ago and became kind of the cure all for all sorts of stuff. And, you know, And it kind of imploded a little bit.
Yeah, it became a buzzword. Yeah.
Yeah. So actually, I'm happy that some of the air came out of that tire a little bit. But, you know, let me just say. Okay. So it turned out, so I actively got into helping others with performance anxiety. Stage fright originally because of my music students I was teaching experienced a lot of it.
Right.
So I started writing a book with a psychologist, you know, on what to do, what young performers could do. And about a month into our writing, she said, well, what do you do? And I said, well, it's kind of quirky. I said, you know, I studied Zen for when I was young and I learned to detach myself from worried thoughts. And so you got to remember, this is like 15 years ago. And she said, you know, that sounds a lot like this new type of therapy called mindfulness. And it was so new, I hadn't even heard of it.
Right.
So she said, well, look into it. And she gave me a couple of books. And one of the books was by Jon Kabat-Zinn, who is the founder of, you know, recognized as the founder of mindfulness. He studied with the same Zen master.
Right. Isn't that awesome?
So, you know, what were the chances of that, right?
Right.
So I, I just built my own type of mindfulness that was very similar, you know, to what Zinn was doing, Kabat-Zinn was doing. And I started sharing that with my students and it did very well. And I then put it into a book that got lots of great reviews, not only from performers, but public speakers, also athletes, competitors. Because it is the same thing. You know, you win or lose a game. You get that $110 million contract or you don't, you know?
Right.
So that has led now to an online course, right?
Right.
So but the mindfulness, this goes back. I didn't forget your question. The mindfulness goes back is, yes, this is applicable to any sort of situation that you experience that sort of nervousness, right? Doesn't matter why, right? Whether, again, you know, at a job interview or you're an actor at a casting call or you're you know, standing on stage. Mindfulness, learning to detach yourself from those nervous thoughts applies to any and all situations, for sure.
Is there a difference, you think, from someone who, or what is the difference, I should say, from someone who doesn't experience it at all, right? Like, there's some people who just, almost like it's born with, they're born with the gift. Like, they don't even, it doesn't bother them at all. They're super confident. And, and I'm just wondering if there's, you know, what is that element? What's that difference?
There's a couple of things. I do remember when working with this therapist, she said, never compare your jagged interior to the smooth exterior of another person, right? Because sometimes you just don't know, right? And in fact, one of the upsides, or one of the you know, positive things to know about performance anxiety, speech fright, and stage fright, it isn't as noticeable to people as most people feel.
Right.
Okay. But the other aspect of this is, I said 75% of people
it's a real thing. Oh, for sure.
That means 25% apparently don't.
Right.
If we go back to that debate, Trump didn't look nervous that night.
Right.
I get the feeling he's part of that 25%. He just doesn't get nervous. Right.
Right. So. Right. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about what you're doing, right? And your book and all that kind of stuff. I want you to, for those who are listening and they are the 75 or in that 75%, right? Because it's a large percentage. Mm-hmm. So what would be like one of the tools that you give them in the book, or one thing that they can do? Like, maybe they're going on something tomorrow, you know, and they're like, I don't think I can do this. I'm so scared. Like, I've had literally people shut down and stop their business and everything just because they had to do a camera shoot. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's that bad for some people.
Sure.
So what is like one thing from your book that you can give them right now that they can just start implementing?
Sure. Let's start with what I said a moment ago. No, there's nothing wrong with you. You're not broken. You're perfect. You're perfectly human.
Right.
Right. The other thing is, you know, I have a video webinar on my website that talks through this aspect of things in 5 minutes, and it's how to detach yourself from those thoughts.
Okay.
And, you know, I call what I do a 5-day speech fright solution, 5-day stage fright solution. But in this video, I explain it's a 5-minute solution. I'll tell you, you know, the basics of it in 5 minutes. Right. And I do. And that's simply, and I use the analogy of you, your stage fright is your obnoxious neighbor. Right. And he always barges in anytime you try to do something, you know, with friends at your house. So that's your speech, that's your performance. Right. And you can waste your time and energy trying to keep him out, but he still finds a way in, right? And you waste your time and energy concentrating on him, right?
Yeah.
Rather than enjoying the birthday party, right? You're worried about this obnoxious neighbor, right? Well, I call it the Reed method. And it's mindfulness based. The first one is to accept, just accept that he's going to get in, right? Again, it's completely natural that you're feeling this way. The way you accept it is by every time you find nervous thoughts distracting you, just return your concentration to the birthday party, to your speech, your performance. Keep doing that every time you find him intruding, right? When you do that, you'll start to find detachment from him. He'll still be there. I never say I'm going to have you, you know, I can't help anybody conquer stage fright. There's no one and done cure.
Right.
Those three factors come into play. You're liable to experience it. But if you accept it by just, you know, returning your focus to the job at hand, you'll find detachment from him. He won't, you know, the stranglehold won't be there for you.
Right.
Now, the one thing that really sparked my my interest that you said they had to, you know, like cancel, you know, a video shoot or whatever mm-hmm. it is. So I gave you four parts. I said, accept, engage, and you get detachment. I said three things. Okay, so there's a fourth thing. Remember, it's to remind yourself of the values, core values you're bringing to what you're doing. Let's say you're throwing a birthday party for a friend. You want to express your love for that friend, you know, how much they mean to you. It doesn't matter whether you know, Bill or this obnoxious neighbor or not shows up. You're right. Still going to throw that party. So I actually have, you know, people I work with write down on a paper, why am I doing this? To remind themselves before they're in the heat of battle, right?
Their why.
Right.
Very important.
It can give them the courage and commitment to face.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. And I love that you're letting people know that this is you're not alone out there. You know, if Dr. David is saying it's like, you know, 75%, y'all who are listening, just understand that you are not alone. And so that's what I love about, you know, having you on the show and stuff, because you're giving us this perspective of, listen, yes, 75% of you are probably going through this, but I also have a solution for this, right? Yeah. So I like that you named it the 5-day, solution. So I'm like wondering, I know you said it's an ongoing process, right? Mm-hmm. But are you saying that if they have something going on in, let's say, 5 days, that they can at least get through that? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Now, that 5-day solution name comes from the book. But the way I teach the online class, it's basically 1 day a week. And okay. the reason for that, two reasons. One, I give people who sign up mindfulness exercises to, you know, develop. And mindfulness is a skill, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It gives them opportunity to practice mindfulness. And then there's also a forum, a user's forum, where they can share their experiences with speech fright and stage fright, right? And, you know, and the thing is, I don't know why this is, Nina, but so many of us are embarrassed, even as natural as it is, and as many of us as experience it, often it's the first time they've spoken about it with anybody else, right?
Yeah. And that's why I said, you know, if you're going through it, understand you're not alone, because I think it does feel like you are. It does feel like you are alone. It feels like maybe you're not good enough, and you start to get, you know, this comparison thing, which you spoke about, and I think also the advantage and disadvantage, right, of having online space is that you have too many people to compare yourself to.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the issue, right? Yeah. Like when you have way too many people out there being like all pros and blah, blah, blah. And you're just like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't even know what they went through, like the 20 takes they took to get that.
Oh, yeah.
That perfect video or whatever.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Right. No, I, for sure. You know, and with all the trolls out there.
Yeah.
Who just take delight in pulling people down. You know, it's absolutely.
Yeah.
It can be done. So let me put this again. People just are embarrassed, reluctant to acknowledge it, especially when their careers depend upon it. I've worked with some name people, right, that you would recognize. They don't want me sharing that I've worked with them because, you know, they don't want you to know that they go in front of 20,000 people they're scared, right?
I go through that with my clients too.
Yeah. So absolutely. Of 5 days, it can be done in 5 days. But again, the better way to do it is through the online course. You know, the book is a bit like it came first. When I was in high school, I really wanted to learn karate, and there was no karate teachers in Tucson, Arizona at that time. So I found a book in the library about karate, and it helped, but you can imagine it wasn't nearly as good as
I agree with that. Yeah, I love that. Okay, so now that people got the gist of you and got your energy and know who you are and what you are, you know, what you're putting out there and how many people you've helped, right? All of your students and all that stuff. Now let them know how they find you. So how do people work with you and find you? Because if 75% of people are out here struggling, they're going to want this help. So give us that.
Yeah. I have two parallel universes. If you're someone who speaks in public, and again, that can be all sorts of situations, you would want to go to speechfrightsolution.com.
Okay.
If you're some type of performer, musician, actor, dancer, stand-up comedian, then you would want to go to stagefrightsolution.com. And they're largely the same. So that way, if you're out, for example, I have a friend of mine who is a musician, New York City musician. He gets nervous when he leads a band and he has to speak to the public. Right. But he also gets nervous before recording sessions. So, you know, the same solution works for both. And 90% of the speech fright and stage fright are the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that they're optimized for those particular audiences.
No, that's awesome. Yeah. Okay. So stagefrightsolution.com.
Mm-hmm.
Are they both the same websites?
The one for performance is stagefrightsolution.com. The one for public speakers is speechfrightsolution.com.
Oh, speech fright. Okay. Yeah. I think you said stage fright. Okay, great.
I might have.
All right. No, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about that. I think it's important, and especially because you know, a lot of people who listen to the show are entrepreneurs and leaders and, you know, things like this. So I know that they're, you know, stepping up in front of crowds, in front of people, in front of, you know, teams, you know, things like that, because even like CEOs and leaders and, you know, all that, they get nervous too, because they got to speak in front of their people who are watching them, seeing what they say, how they say it, what they do next, you know. So I think this can be super helpful, and I'm really grateful that you came on.
I've worked with my fair share of CEOs. And yeah, you know, the launch of a new product or service can fall to the success of it can fall to their presentation.
Like a change in vision, right? You have to be able to sell it. So yeah. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you.
This has been a delight, Nina. Anytime.
Thank you guys. And guys, I'm going to make sure to link all of his information below so that you can go to the right website and connect with him and talk to him and see what's going on, like how he can resolve this for you and how you guys can work through this, because you have a lot to give to the world. And, you know, to be afraid to go on a stage or go on a camera or go is a normal thing. It's so normal, but it's so cool when somebody can come alongside you and give you the tips and tools and tricks that you need so that you can actually show up for you, so you can show up for them. So I'm super grateful for you. I'm glad that you're here. I love you guys so much. This is Nina Perez, Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Until next time.